Good day to you. Here are three things on Isaiah chapter 60, and then I'll move into chapter 61 with a brief pause in between. First, chapter 60, number one, the sin is the reason, really, for mankind's spiritual darkness, right? Verse 2, look, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the peoples. But thanks to the Lord's saving intervention through the Messiah, the promised Savior, that struck down remnants of believers in Jerusalem and Judah at Isaiah's time, do not need to lose heart or to grope around in the darkness. Verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. The Lord will dawn upon you, and his glory will be seen over you. Those who have been severely tested are encouraged to take comfort in the promises of the true light in the darkness, the Savior's rescue from sin and death. And he talks about the glory of the Lord, your light, the Messiah, means the Messiah. The glory of the Lord is the Lord's act of mercy, the shining mercy and goodness that he shows when he intervenes and he rescues and helps his people, even though they don't deserve it. And so he says, don't sit paralyzed by all the distress and desolation you see around you, but stand up, shining with joy because of the certainty of the Messiah's act of salvation. The Lord always keeps his promises. And it's even better, that glory of the Lord, that message of his act of salvation, will reach the entire world. It is for more than just the tribes of Jacob. Verse 3, nations will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. When you keep reading this passage, these verses, a lot of times these verses are read on Epiphany. When we celebrate the coming of the wise men, nations will come to see salvation. Nations will come to see Jesus, the Savior of the world, and joy that light will shine in their hearts too. And so number two, Zion's true glory, Jerusalem's true glory, is sharply contrasted to the current situation of earthly Zion. Yet the result of the Lord's redemption and the faith this act of salvation is going to create, even among Gentiles, is the reason for the great change, which Isaiah depicts with incredible pictures before the eyes of those who are tormented. Verse 16, you will nurse on the milk of the nations, and you will nurse at the breasts of kings. You will know that I am the Lord, your Savior, that your Redeemer is the Mighty One of Jacob. And so that's my number two. And then finally, number three on Isaiah 60, when you look at verses 18 to 20, they clearly show that Isaiah is using symbolic picture language for the true Zion. He says, you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. He's not talking about earthly glory. Thus the sun will never again be your light by day, and the moon will not shine to provide brightness for you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your splendor. Your sun will never again set, and your moon will not wane, because the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. The believers' wall of protection against the enemy attacks is salvation through the Lord. The believer's thankful song of praise to the Lord is a testimony to everyone outside the city that the gates to the Lord's city are opened by grace alone, even for them. And this city is no earthly city. It doesn't need light from the sun or moon. The Lord is its light. As opposed to the light from the sun, moon, this light lasts forever. Sorrow will be no more. And so what are we talking about here? In the true Zion, we're talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. In heaven, there is no sin. There everyone is righteous and will possess the promised land forever. And so it's looking ahead to the day when we rejoice together in heaven. And those are my three things, Isaiah chapter 60. Pause the recording now if you need to read through Isaiah 61. When we get into chapter 61, we think, first of all, the joyful message of God's grace. The Messiah's covenant of grace brings freedom to the captives. So here in the opening verses of this chapter, the Lord's true servant himself discusses his mission of salvation. He's the one personally sent by the Lord. The Lord's servant, what the Lord's servant says and does is what the Lord says and does. The Lord has anointed me, verse 1. So thus the servant is the Lord's anointed, the Lord's Messiah. That's what Messiah means, anointed one. And we see these verses read by Jesus in the synagogue. I think Luke chapter 4 is where you find it. In the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus read these verses and the following verses about the grace and liberation which the Messiah would bring with him. And after he finished, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He's plainly and directly saying to his audience that he is a fulfillment of this prophecy. He is the one, the Lord with the Lord and his Spirit. And so his assignment, Jesus' assignment, is to proclaim joyful message to the helpless, to bind up the one who has a broken heart, to call out freedom for the captives and liberation for the prisoners. And so what helplessness is he talking about? Well, that's the consequences of sin. Sin's grip on mankind is tight and would bring new afflictions as a consequence. And yet there is one who comes with light and hope in this darkness that we live in every day. There is only one who can rescue the people from the misery caused by sin, namely the Savior, the Lord's special servant. The message about him and his victory over sin and death through his atonement means joy and freedom for the helpless sinner, the forgiveness of sins through him, freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. My number two, verses 7 through 9, an eternal covenant with eternal joy. The Lord is not stingy with the blessings he gives his people. Indeed, he promised that all the people of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. Believers in Jerusalem, Judea, had been struck by because of Israel's great rebellion against the Lord, but that shame and humiliation would be replaced with joy in double measure. In verse 7, in place of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they will rejoice in their share of the land. In fact, in their land, they will inherit a double portion. Everlasting joy will be theirs. And then the Lord says, I love justice. I hate robbery in a burnt offering. I will repay them in faithfulness, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. A covenant that lasts forever. And we see, and then in verse 9, their offspring will be known among the nations, their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize that they are offspring whom the Lord has blessed. And again, we think maybe to Revelation, the picture of heaven, where John saw the Lord's blessed children were a great multitude that no one could count from every tribe and nation, people and language. And then finally, number 3, verses 10 and 11. In verse 10 and 11 and following, Isaiah himself speaks and expresses his joy and the joy of all believers over the Lord's act of salvation. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will celebrate because of my God, for he has clothed me in garments of salvation. With a robe of righteousness he covered me, like a bridegroom who wears a beautiful headdress, like a priest and like a bride who adorns herself with her jewelry. What a picture. What a beautiful picture of the joy. Think of the joy of a wedding, of your wedding day. And it's even more joy than that. But dressed like a wedding day. The believers filled with joy when he grasped that what the Lord promises of salvation and what it means. What a great contrast. Garments of salvation, robes of righteousness. Instead of rags in a land heavily afflicted by enemies, the unbelievers can't see it. But thanks to the Lord's promise, in the midst of all that distress, all those problems, Isaiah can see those things that unbelievers cannot see. And therefore he rejoices like a bride and a bridegroom at their wedding. Those are my three things. May God bless you as you grow in his grace and in his word.